Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Mem Tet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is not necessarily connected to our Masechta, but it's a derivative of the previous Mishnayot, and it is the determination of who is called a Mamzer, or from what relationships do we produce a Mamzer. The Deot that are brought in the Mishnah are relying on the Psukim in the Torah that are found in Perichav Gimel in Sefer Dvarim. There it says in Pasuk Aleph, Lo Yikach Ish et Eshet Aviv, Velo Yigaleh Knaf Aviv. Pasuk Beres Lo Yavo Ptsua Daka Ukrut Shofcha Bikal Hashem. And then the third Pasuk is Lo Yavo Mamzer Bikal Hashem Gam Dor Esiri Lo Yavo Lo Bikal Hashem. So the presence of Mamzer in the third Pasuk must be connected contextually to that which takes place before. And as Tosafot points out, the Pasuk before is not relevant because it says Lo Yavo Ptsua Daka Ukrut Shofcha Bikal Hashem, which is talking about injuries or problems with the reproductive organ of a male, so that person's not having children. So certainly Mamzer is not the relevant issue there. There must be that from Pasuk Aleph we learn out what is classified as a Mamzer. And that is Lo Yikach Ish Et Eshet Aviv, but Lo Yigaleh Knaf Aviv. So that Pasuk is going to be integral to our understanding of what is classified as a Mamzer. And that's what we're going to see in the Gemara. Here the Mishnah brings down three opinions as to what generates a Mamzer. Ezu Mamzer, Kol She'er Basar Shebehu Lo Yavo. Any person that is a relative that has a restriction or a lav associated with them, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's opinion here seems to be premised on number one, it has to be a lo taseh, it has to be a lav, and number two, it has to be she'er. It has to be something that comes out of a relationship of relatives or closeness that generates the problem. We'll see in the Gemara that there are, first of all, Amoraim that argue within the position of Rabbi Akiva, as well as we find in other places Rabbi Akiva's position not necessarily bound by the word She'er. So that is a question that has to be dealt with within Rabbi Akiva's Shita, as to whether She'er is integral to the definition of what a Mamzer is, or even without She'er, there's still below Yavo, there is still a possibility that Allah by itself will generate a Mamzer. And the Rambam himself in the Perisha Mishnayot reads it that way. He says, what's a Mamzer? Kol She'er Basar, any relative, and Shehu B'lo Yavo, and anybody who has a lav. So he separates the two items out. Again, we'll see a machloket about this in the Gemara. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's the Rabbi Akiva that we've seen until now, who says that Dushin are not Tovsin B'chayvei Lavin, and since they're not Tovsin B'chayvei Lavin, you generate a Mamzer from that. Shimon HaTeimani Omer, Kol She'chayvin Alav Karet B'dei Shemaim. Anybody who's chayav karet, any relationship that generates a chiyuv karet, that generates a mamzer, halacha kidvarav. And halacha is like Shimon HaTeimani. Now in general, we have a principle that we do not paskin halacha out of a mishnah, even if the mishnah says halacha kidvarav. Nevertheless, over here, the halacha is like Shimon HaTeimani, and that has to do with the fact that the Gemara in many places, we have sugyot that uphold the position of Shimon HaTeimani, and also reject the position of Rabbi Akiva, as well as the upcoming position of Rabbi Yoshua. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, Kol She'chayvin Alav Mitat Beit Din. Only things that have the more severe punishments that are punishable by Beit Din are capital crimes that can be punished by Beit Din. Those people are classified as Mamzerim, but Karet does not suffice to generate a Mamzer. Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Azai. It's a question as to whether the word Rabbi should be in here, because later on we'll see that there's a quote that just quotes it as Shimon ben Azai, and not as Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, but we'll read what's in our Mishnah, which is Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Matzati Migalat Yuchsin b'Yerushalayim. I found this document in Yerushalayim that was giving us the Yuchos, the family tree of a certain family, v'katuba ish ploni mamzer me'eshet ish. There is an individual who's considered to be a mamzer from eshet ish, from the fact that mother had an extramarital affair and gave birth to him, and that's why he is classified as a mamzer. Eshet Ish is one of the things that involves a capital punishment bin Beit Din. And from there we have a proof, L'kayim Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. Obviously that's not found in the Megillat Yuchsin. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Azai's comment about what's written in the Megillat Yuchsin. As Tosafot points out over here, it can't be that that was just the case, because if that was just the case, then there's no proof to Rabbi Yoshua. It must be that they were giving an example. Why they were saying that this individual was classified as a mamzer, they give you examples of what generates a mamzer. The fact that they picked Eshet Ish tells you that that's what causes mamzer. Now, why didn't it pick any of the other mitot Beit Din? That might be because Eshet Ish is different than all the other capital punishments of Beit Din that are found by Arayot, because it's only punishable by Chenek and not by Skila. or Sreifa. And it's the lowest form of punishment that we find by Arayot, that is a capital crime that is punishable by Beit Din. And therefore, that might be why I picked this as the example. Ishto Shemeta, if a person's wife passes away, Mutar Ba'achuta, he's allowed to marry her sister. Girsha Umeta, if he divorces his wife and then she dies, Mutar Ba'achuta, he can marry her sister. Nisei La'acher, if he divorces his wife and she marries someone else, Umeita, and then passes away, Mutar Ba'achuta, the bottom line is, until his wife or ex-wife passes away, he's not allowed to have a relationship Ba'achuta. But because of the Pasuk Valea Bechaya, that only in her lifetime is there a restriction with the sister, as soon as that wife or ex-wife passes away, he's Mutar Ba'achuta. Yivimto, the same is true, just like by a marriage to a woman, the same is true by Yivama. Yivimto Shemeita, Mutar Ba'achuta. If he performed Yibum and consummated the Yibum, then if that woman passes away, he can marry her sister. Chalatzla, if he performed Chalitza with her, Umeita, and then afterwards she passes away, Mutar Ba'achuta. Then he is permitted to marry her sister. He said Acher, Umeita, if he performed Chalitza with her and she married a third party, after she passes away, again, Mutar Ba'achuta. So again, we'll deal with this in tomorrow's daf as to what the Chidushim are in this latter part of the Mishnah. The Gemara will actually say that there really isn't that much in the way of Chidushim in this latter half of the Mishnah, but it is telling us this din, Olea Bechaya, that this Isur of Arayot is limited to while the woman is still alive. Now Gemara says, "My taima de Rabbi Akiva." What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva's position? Dichtiv, lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, velo yigaleh kenaf aviv. Person may not take the wife of his father, velo yigaleh kenaf aviv, and he may not expose his father. Kenaf, Shira Aviv Lo Yigale. The Kanaf, the woman who saw his father, he may not reveal. V'savala ki Rabbi Yehuda. And we saw this earlier in the Masechta as to how do we translate or how do we explain Lo Yigale Kanaf Aviv. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Benusat Aviv HaKatub Midaber. So I made a case where his father had a relationship with this woman that was outside of the context of marriage. And because it was outside the context of marriage, there's no ishut, the word isha is not, or the word ishut is not used over here, as well as lo yikach is not used over here. So lo yigaleh knaf aviv, there's a lav, there's a restriction against marrying a woman who had a relationship with one's father, even if that was outside the context of marriage. That is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, davile chayve lavin. That's a lav, that's a pure lav restriction against doing such a thing. Kesamech lay, and then in the Sukim, we saw two psukim later, it says, Lo yavo mamzer v'kal Hashem. Alma mahani havi mamzer. So Rabbi Akiva says, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that says that that pasuk by Lo yikach et eshet aviv, which is in a marital relationship, you may not take the woman that one's father was married to. Lo yigaleh kenaf aviv means you may not take the woman that was involved in a relationship with the father outside of marriage, outside the context of marriage. The first one involves an isur mitat beitin. The second one involves an Isur Lav. And so Rabbi Akiva says, if there's an Isur Lav, mention that Pasuk, and that's juxtaposed to Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem, that teaches you that a Mamzer is produced out of a relationship that involves a Chiyuv Lav. Ul Rabbi Simai. Now here are these other individuals who, in this Shita of Rabbi Akiva, say that Rabbi Akiva does not only say it by a Lav, but the Merbe Sha'ar Chayavei Lavin, the Lav de She'er. He includes other chiyuvei lavim, even though they're not she'er, even though they're not based on relatives or relationship. For instance, like machzir grushato or netina de Yisrael, where there are problems of lavin, even though those are not kurva, relationship, familial issues in terms of arayot. And he says that even there, Rabbi Akiva says that the chiyuv lav does not have kiddushin and produces a mamzer. Ula Rabbi Yeshvav, Dimrabe Afilu Chayve Asei, he says even if there's just a positive commandment that restricts one from engaging in a relationship with this individual, for instance, by a mitzri, it says, Dor Shlishi Yavolahem, the third generation, they may join Kal Hashem, may join Kalal Yisrael, implying that in the second and first generation, they may not. So that's an Isur Asei, it's an Isur that derives from an Asei, and it's considered to be an Asei. He says even there, Rabbi Akiva says, there's no Kiddushin, and the product of that relationship is a mamzer. Where do they learn that out from? Nafkaluhu, mi velo. That they have the extra vav there, which is a riboy. So mi velo tells us not only for chiyuvei lavin, but also from additional items. So it says there, lo yigale kanaf aviv, but it doesn't just say lo yigale kanaf aviv, it says vilo yigale kanaf aviv. That vav is musif, these additional arayot that according to them are also chiyuve lavin or chiyuve asay that kedushin ra tofsim according to Rabbi Akiva and produce mamzerim. And that's what I mentioned in the Mishnah, that the word she'er in the Mishnah seems to indicate not like the position of Rabbi Simai, although we saw the reading of the Rambam that does support the reading of Rabbi Simai. Shimon HaTemani, Shimon HaTemani believes that only from Chiyuvei Karet there is a production of a Mamzer, Savar Lagi Rabbanan. He holds like the Rabbanan against Rabbi Hudu, explained that Lo Yigalei Kanaf Aviv, Damrei B'Shomeret Yabam Shel Aviv Agatu Midaber. He's talking about his uncle's wife. His uncle passed away without children, and now she is awaiting Yibam from his father. So that individual is restricted from marrying this woman. Now there, Davile Chaive Kereitot, there is a restriction of Kereitot because that's his aunt. And that's a restriction of Kereitot. That means that both of the items in the Pasuk there are speaking about Chiyuve Mita. One is talking about a Chiyuve Mita Beitin. One is talking about a Chiyuve Kereit. V'samech Le'lo Yavo Mamzer. And then juxtaposed to that, you have the Pasuk of Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. And because of that, those are the items that are determined to be Mamzerim. So Chiyuve Kereit, and even Chiyuve Mitat Beitim, which are more severe, all of those are classified as Mamzerim. Alma Michayve Kereitot, Avi Mamzer. Therefore, from Michayve Kereitot, you have Mamzer. Vi Rabbi Yoshua. What about Rabbi Yoshua, who says you only have it from Chayve Metot Beitim, that only from cases where there's a capital crime, punishable in Beitim, Lich Tov Rachmana Lo Yigaleh. The Pasuk should just have said Lo Yigaleh. This is Rashi's Girsa, and the way that Rashi reads it is, that the Pasuk should have just said Lo Yigaleh, according to both Rabbi Akiva and according to Shimon HaTemani, the whole limud of the juxtaposition to Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem is to the Lo Yigaleh Knaf Aviv. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Huda's interpretation of Lo Yigaleh Knaf Aviv. And according to Shimon HaTemani, it's the Rabbanan's interpretation of Lo Yigaleh Knaf Aviv. Lo Yikach, Lomali. But the Lo Yikach is completely extraneous there because it has no bearing on the contextual setting of this pasuk. El olav hachikamar. So it must be what it's saying here is Melo yikach ad lo yigaleh havi mamzer tvei lo havi mamzer. It must be from lo yikach until the word lo yigaleh, whatever is between those two words, is considered to be a mamzer. More than that is not a mamzer. And the way Rashi reads that, if you look, it says lo yikach ish eshet aviv velo yigaleh knaf aviv. What's between lo yikach and lo yigaleh? Eshet aviv. Eshet aviv is a chiyuv mitat beitin. And that's the only thing that you're going to have a mamzer be produced out of, is that which is between lo yikach and lo yigaleh, because otherwise lo yikach is not necessary. There's no necessity to write in the pasuk at all. That's the girsa of Rashi. The girsa of the Gaonim and many other of the Sfarim, as Tosafot points out here, that Rashi changed the girsa of many of the Sfarim, that the girsa was that it should say, o lo yigaleh, o lo yikach. According to those other opinions, you only need one of the two, or lo yigaleh, o lo yikach. Why did it write both of them? Why did it write both yigaleh and lo yikach? So that comes to teach you, mi lo yikach, a lo yigaleh, havi mamzer. From lo yikach until lo yigaleh will be a mamzer, lo yigaleh itself will not be a mamzer. Anything between lo yikach and lo yigaleh knaf aviv, anything from chiyuv mitat beitin until lo yigaleh knaf aviv, whatever you determine that is, will be classified as a mamzer. And Rabbi Yeshua say, I hold like the Rabbonan, that lo yigaleh knaf aviv is talking about shomeret yabam of his father, and therefore means from chiyuve mitat beitin until chiyuve karet, that is a mamzer, not including lo yigaleh knaf aviv, just that which is between them. That means anything that's from the highest form of punishment of chiyuve mitat beitin until karet, which is a lower form of punishment. That means anything that is a chiyuve mitat beitin from the top punishment all the way down, as long as it's a capital crime punishable by beitin until chiyuve karet, that is considered to be mamzer, but not including chiyuve karet. Now technically, Shimon HaTemani could have used the same limud and said that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a lav, and therefore anything from chiyuve mitat beitin until a lav is classified as mamzer, and that would include karet in between, not including the lav at the end. Although you don't need to say that, because then he would be holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon HaTemani is much happier to set himself up like the Rabbonon and not have that issue whatsoever. So that's the way that Tosafot explains that position of Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Abaye. Now Abaye comes along and says, Hakol modim beba'al anida. Everybody agrees that when a person has a relationship with a nida, ba'al asota, or a relationship with sota, ain avlad mamzer. The product of that relationship is not a mamzer. Now nida is obviously speaking about one's wife, And even though there's a chiyuv karet associated with one's wife who's in nida, nevertheless, if one has that relationship, that does not produce a mamzer. As far as sota is concerned, here there's a machloket between Rashi and Tosafot. What we're speaking about, Rashi says that we're talking about ish and ish shizinta, a woman who had an extramarital affair, and we know based on that that she's a surah to her husband to remain with her husband. Nevertheless, if he does remain with her, which is a chiyuv lav, nevertheless, we don't produce a mamzer of this, and that means that even Rabbi Akiva, who normally says by chiyuve lavin that a sota, that the product is a mamzer, over here he would not say it by a sota. That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, Tosafot says, no, the case of sota over here is talking about a case where an individual was married to a woman who had this extramarital affair, then he divorces the woman. After divorcing the woman, now he takes her back. And then the lav is a lav of machzir grushato. So even though it's machzir grushato, nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva says there's no mamzer here. According to Tosafot, it seems to be because it doesn't qualify as a she'er. Since it's not a lav of she'er, therefore there's no mamzer produced out of this relationship, which would mean that it doesn't follow the position of Rabbi Simai, who said before that even without she'er, there are such problems. Whereas Rashi, who explains it the other way, seems to say that this is going according to Rabbi Simai, who says that even by regular lavim of not she'er, you would have a problem according to Rabbi Kiva, and this is a case where it's excluded. Tosafot does bring an opinion of the Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that even though over here we believe that the vlad is not a mamzer, that's only midoraita. But midrabanan, the vlad is a mamzer according to this by sotan. He proves it from a woman whose husband passes away overseas, and we only have one aid, and we allow her to marry. If we find out that the information is wrong, that she has to divorce both husbands, and the vlad is a mamzer midrabanan, and he proves it from that. Tosafot differentiates and says over there it was a knas, it's a fine, to stop her from marrying so quickly, we want to really look into the issue. Whereas over here, there's no reason to fine her to not have extramarital affairs. That's assumed that people don't have extramarital affairs, and therefore there's no need for a knas over here to make the vlad a mamzer. So over here, you have different opinions as to what's happening by the sota. Now, the Gemara says, nida daha tafsi ba kedushin. The reason by nida, there's no problem of mamzer is because by nido, kiddushin take hold. Shenemar vatihi nidata alaf. That her nida is upon her. Afil bishat nidata tafsi ba kiddushin. Even then when she's a nida, kiddushin take effect with her. Meaning that one can perform kiddushin with a nida. Since one can perform kiddushin with a nida, that's indicative of the fact that nida is not classified as one of the arayot. And since it's not one of the arayot, because if it was an erva, you wouldn't be able to perform kiddushin with her. Therefore, a product of a relationship with a nida also will not be a mamzer. Now, the question that you have to ask over here is, when the Gemara says a havamino, that a product of a nida should be a mamzer, the Gemara is assuming that a nida is a rayot, and because of that, the product of that relationship would be a mamzer. The Gemara in the end says, no, we have a pasuk in the Torah that tells us otherwise. The question is, what does the pasuk tell us otherwise? Does the pasuk tell us, yes, nida is still erva, but, nevertheless, kedushin are tovsim, and therefore, there's no mamzer here. Or is the Gemara now saying that nido is not classified as an erva? Why does that make a difference? Well, it's a nafgamino to something that we saw at the beginning of our mesechta, which is on Dav Gimel. Tosafot over there discusses the fact that in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the mesechta, it talks about different arayot that would be poter their tzara. Over there, Tosafot asks, why isn't the nida puteret et atzara? Nida is found in the Parshat Arayot, in Parshat Achremot. If she's found there, then she's one of the erva. Why isn't she enumerated in that list of 15 women that dismiss or release her tzara? So if she is erva, she should release them. Over there, Tosafot says that she's not classified as an erva. Tosafot clearly reads the conclusion of the Gemara here to mean that nida does not have a status of erva whatsoever. He explains over there why is it that is the case. It's because nida, erva is only someone, or a rayot is only someone who is asur to this individual, but mutar to others. That is not true over here by nida. Nida is restricted to the husband, but she's also restricted to everybody else. Meaning nida is not mutar to anyone. And therefore she can't be classified as erva, because erva has that specific requirement, that it's only a restriction for the particular individual because of their relationship, but other people could marry her, or other people could have relationships with her. That's not true by a nida. By a nida, no one can have relationship with her because she is a nida. That's the way Tosafot explains it over there. The Rabbeinu Tam over there says the reason that Anida is not Arayot is because it happens on a recurring basis. Erva is only something that sticks around for a long duration. Now true, by Achot Isha, there it does terminate, but that's after a long time if she dies. But Nida is a monthly thing. You can't say she's an Erva every month and then on, off, on, off. He says the Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar says that's just not called Arayot, and therefore she's not considered to be Erva. So you see clearly from Tosafot and Rabbeinu Tam earlier in the Masechta that they believe that when we say over here that a Nida does not produce a Mamzer, it's because we believe Nida doesn't have a classification of Erva. On the other hand, if you look in the Rambam and Mishneh Torah, in a number of places where the Rambam speaks about Nida, he says that Nida is considered to be an Erva, with the exception here that Kedushin Artof Simba. Since Kedushin Artof Simba, there's no Mamzer, but he still classifies a Nida as an Erva. So therefore, there are some who want to say, based on that, that in a case where you had a nifila, at the time of nifila, the woman was a nida, then you would have to, it would be poter tzarata. She would not require yibum or chalitza, as well as her co-wife would be exempted because of that. That's one of the nafkaminot. I also heard from Rabbi Sabalovsky that you might have other nafkaminot over here. One of them might be with regards to chupat nida. How do we view chupat nida? Another one is an interesting case that's brought up by the Mordechai here in the end of the fourth parak, where the Mordechai mentions that there was a case in Europe where an individual was married to a woman and passed away without any children. His brother was a mishumad. He was someone who left the faith and now was a Christian. She needs chalitza from this individual. This individual, first of all, has no interest in doing that. The number two is he might even be anti-Jewish at this point and would not agree to perform this ceremony to free this woman. Now she's stuck for life because she can't get chalitza from this individual, from this brother. So over there, the Mordechai brings down from Rabbi Avram Agadol, one of the Balei HaTosafot, that he had a svora to say that when it comes to a nachri, when it comes to a non-Jew, if a woman has a relationship with a non-Jew, we say kanaim pogim bo. That when there's a relationship between a Jew and a non-Jewish woman, or the other way around, a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man, then if it's done before Esya, we say kanaim pogim bo. So based on that, Rav Avraham Agadol suggests that that is a form of arayot. And therefore, at the time in Ifilah, at the time that she became a Yivama, this brother was a Mishumad. And therefore, he had a din of Knayim Pogim Bo, which is a din of Erva. And that din of Erva now makes it that she is freed. What you clearly see from here is that his definition of arayot is different than simply those that are found in the Parsha of Achrimot, or those that Tosafot or Rabbeinu Tam, how they explain Arayot, because this individual is asur to everyone, just like a Nidah is asur to everyone. So if you take that together, it seems like they view over here that Nidah is an example of Erva. Nidah is an example of Erva, where she's asur to everybody, but nevertheless, there's a dispensation that lets her out. So too, by this Mishubad, he would have to say the same thing, that he's considered to be an Erva, even though he is asurah to everyone, because he's a Mumar. And therefore he'd be a surah to everybody, and because of that, she should be released because of a din of erva. But you see how he views probably the nida over here as being an example of erva, just with a dispensation. But in a case like the mishumad, where you have an erva without the dispensation, then maybe over there we would suggest that she could be released because of arayot over there. Now obviously there are a lot of problems with his suggestion, including whether the din of kanayim pogim bo applies b'tzinah, not just b'fer hesya, number one. Number two is whether a Mishumad really has a din of an Arami, which is Bol Arami to Bol Arami, which has this din of Gnayim Bogimbo. And in addition to that, you have to assume that he's correct about his extrapolation from the din of Nida here over to the din of Bol Arami to Bol Arami, where we would say that that's enough to release the individual. Like some of the Rishonim explained that in the beginning of the Masechta, that in Ochanami, Nida would release the individual. The problem is it has to be a Shat Nefila, she's a Nida. It's not something that's continuous. I mean, all the other Arayot that are mentioned in the Mishnah there are continuous Arayot, and therefore it's always that way. It's definitive that those Arayot would be poter. By Nida, it only applies if she's a Nida at the time of Nefila. So therefore, it's something that moves around, but they would agree that Nida is poter herself, as well as Tzarata, and therefore it would have impact here by Rav Avraham Agadol. Anyway, that's interesting dynamic who are nafkamina here as to how we view the conclusion of the Gemara here after it rejects the Havamina that Nida is Erva. Does it conclude in the end that Nida is Erva with the dispensation, or does it conclude that Nida really is not an Erva at all? And we see that the Rishonim stack up in different places along these lines, and they do have nafka minot l'alocha. Sota nami, why also by a sota is there no problem mamzerut? The hatafsi by kiddushin, because by her kiddushin take effect. Now, according to Rashi, who says that the woman is the woman had an extramarital affair and now still with her husband, because her original kiddushin are still intact. Since her original kiddushin are still intact, therefore, she is considered to have kiddushin, and the product of that is not a mamzer. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that based on the fact that we're talking about magzir grushato, over there it uses a liot lo liisha, which uses a lashon havaya. And so there is, even though technically he's not supposed to take this woman back, if he does, it does take effect, the kiddushin are effective, and because of that, there is no mamzer produced out of a sota. Tanya Nami Ochiv, a braita that supports this, akol modim bevala nida vala sota, val shomeret yabam, she'en avlad mamzer. Everybody agrees by nida, sota, and shomeret yabam that the vlad is not a mamzer. As far as nida and sota are concerned, that is the same memra that we had from Abaye. The question is, why does the braita add in shomeret yabam, where Abaye did not have that? So Abaye shomeret yabam is svegalei. He didn't know what to say about his shomeret yabam, ikarav, ikishmuel. Whether he holds like Rav and Shmuel, this is very controversial as to what it means, Ikarav and Gishmuel. Rashi says over here, Ikarav, that he says that in Perek Aisha, we're going to see later on, that B'ayin Shein Kedushin Toshsim B'Yevama. How do we know that by a Yevama, Kedushin are not Topsim? Because it says, Lo Tiyah Eishin Amet La'ish Zar. So Lo Tiyah Bahavaya La'zar. There's no way to marry that woman. And therefore, the product would be a Mamzer. On the other hand, Shmuel has a safek later on in the Masechta as to whether Rav is correct about that din or that limud, or as whether maybe no, that the Kedushin are tofaced by her, because the fact that it says Behavaya there means that Kedushin are tofsim even though she's not allowed to do it. And so based on that safek, Abaye didn't know whether Shomer Yabam really does produce a mamzer or doesn't produce a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. The way Rashi is explaining is that Rav says there is no lav, there's just a statement that there is no kiddushin here, and since there's no kiddushin, you produce a mamzer. But Shmuel is not sure as to whether this is a lav that says that kiddushin are tofsin, or it's not a lav and it's like Rav. Tosafot says in the end he doesn't think that that's correct, and he brings Rabbeinu Tam who says that everybody agrees there's a lav. Just a question of the nature of the lav. The way that Rav reads the lav is that the lav is effective to say that not only is it restricted, but it also does not create kiddushin. And Shmuel says, I'm not sure. Is the lav over here just like a normal lav? And it says havaya, which means kiddushin are tovsin by that lav. Or is it really saying that this is a lav by which there is no tfisa kiddushin because of the word havaya? So they both agree that there is a lav. It's just a question of whether there's tfisa kiddushin here or not. So either way, that's a fake that Abaye has as well. The halacha is like Rav or Shmuel will determine whether there's tfisa kiddushin over here. And based on whether it's Tfisha Kedushin over here, will produce or not produce a mamzer. Therefore, he didn't want to make that statement about Shemirat Yavam, because he couldn't make it definitively because of the machlok at the Rav and Shmuel. Whereas the Braita clearly takes the position that Shemirat Yavam is not a problem of mamzer. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Ozai, this is the latter half of the Mishnah. Tani, we have a Braita. Shimon ben Ozai Omer, Matzati Migilat Yuchsin B'Yerushalayim, Ketuv Ba Ish Ploni Mamzer Meshed Ish. That's what we have quoted from him in the Mishnah. Vikatuvba. In addition to that was written in it. Now, these are somewhat topically connected. Tosafot discusses what's the connection, but not necessarily easily connected, which is Mishnat Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Kav Vinaki. That the Mishnah of Rabbi Lezer is Kav. They're small amounts, meaning he appears few times in the Mishnah. Vinaki. But anytime he does appear in the Mishnah, the Aloha is like him, and that's the way we paskin, that Aloha is Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov whenever he appears in the Mishnah, and maybe in the Braitot as well. Vikatuvba. Menashe haraget Yishayahu. It also said in over there that Menashe killed Yishayahu a Navi. So Menashe, who was the son of Chizkiyahu a Melech, killed Yishayahu the Navi. Amar Rava, Midan Dainei Vikadle. Rava says that he brought him to din and he killed Yishayahu. Amarle, Moshe Rabbeich Amar, he says that Yishayahu was heretic because he said things that were against the Torah. Amar, Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. Moshe Rabbeinu says that no man can see me and live. And in Perek Vav, which is the Maisa Merkava of Yishayahu, he says that I saw Hashem sitting on the throne. Moshe Rabbeich Amar, Mika Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Olav. Who is like Hashem our God? Anytime that we call him, he's available. And you say, Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo. You can only call out Hashem when he's available. Moshe Rabbeich Amar et Mispar Yamech Amalei. Moshe says that Hashem will fulfill your years, meaning that there's a defined time you will live, and you will live no more than that, and I will let you live out your years. V'atamart v'osafti al yamecha chamesha tzvei shana. And you said to my father Chizkiyahu HaMelech, after he fell ill and did tshuva, that Hashem added on 15 years to his life? How could it be? Yishayahu says, I can't defend myself here because Menashe is not going to accept my defense. And if I tell him, then he's going to become a mezid, and he's going to kill me a mezid, it'll be a much more severe punishment. Better that I don't argue or I don't put up a defense and let him kill me, b'shogeg, thinking that he's right. Samar, shame. He uttered the ineffable name of Hashem. Ivla ba'arzo, he was then moved into a cedar tree. Atyula azza, somebody cut down the cedar tree. V'nasrua, and they began to plane the cedar tree, cut it up by a carpenter. Kimati la'ade puma, when they came to his mouth, when he was in the tree, nachnafshe, that killed him. V'shum da'amar, and that was a midah keneged midah for him, because it says, u'betoch cham t'meis v'tayim anich yoshev, that he says, amongst a nation of impure lips, I sit. Rashi claims over here that he said it without prompting from Hashem, that this was Yishayahu saying it about the people for no purpose of tochacha, and not because Hashem said it, and therefore he was held accountable for the fact that he denigrated Bnei Yisrael in this way, or he had spoken in a sense Lashon Hara. Others suggest that even though Hashem had told him this information, there was no reason for him to relay it forward, because there was no value in relaying it forward. So, mikomakom, kashu kraya dodi. So that's the story about Menashe killing Yishayahu, but nevertheless, Menashe does raise a good issue here. These psukim are stirot. Ve'eret Hashem. So what am I going to do with Ve'eret Hashem? Kedetanya, like a brayta. Kol nevi'im nistaklu baspakai yoshena mi'ira. All the other nevi'im saw with an unclear image. Moshe Rabbeinu nistaklu baspakai yoshena mi'ira. He saw with a clear glass or a clear image. And that is because Moshe Rabbeinu had clear nevu'ah. I don't speak to him in visions or in riddles. He talks to me panim el panim. So Moshe has a direct view. So Moshe's direct view gave him the opportunity to say that nobody sees Hashem because he knew what he was looking at. And he knew that nobody could see Hashem. On the other hand, the other Nevi'im only have a hinted or images that give him a hint as to what they are seeing. Because of that, they cannot conclusively say that they didn't see Hashem. They just are medameh. They, in their mind, think or try to recreate what they saw in that image. And that image to them looked like it was Hashem sitting on the Kisei HaKavod. So they can't say definitively that person can't see it because they're not seeing things clearly. They're only seeing them through a prism of images, chidot, riddles, or unclear messages that Hashem is asking them to put together and then to convey. So because of that, they may make different statements, not because there's really a difference, but because of the difference in the nature of their nivuah. And of course, this is the uniqueness of Moshe's nivuah in the beginning of Parshat Vayera. Again, that's brought there as well when Hashem speaks to Moshe, and it says that, I spoke to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shagai, Mishmi Hashem lo nadati lahem. I didn't speak to them with the Shmi Hashem. There, the Midrash also brings this idea that Moshe received the Aspakaria Mi'ira that was not true of the Avot. And so Moshe has this unique nivuah associated with him. The Rabbeinu Chananel asks over here, why didn't he just answer him over here, that it says later on, by Nadav and Vayu, Vayiru et Elohei Yisrael, that they saw Hashem when they were sitting there. Nadav and Vayu said that they, Pasuk Malay in Parshat Mishpatim and Perachav Dalet, that they saw Hashem. So we have other interpretations of that Pasuk, and we know that they really didn't see Hashem. Nevertheless, you could be brought out of a proof. The answer might be, because he didn't want to bring the wrong interpretation of that Pasuk, even though that Pasuk would have supported him in defense. Alright, the reconciliation of the other Pasukim will continue with tomorrow's daf. We're going to stop here, 6 lines from the bottom of Mem Tet Amud Bet.